Welcome to the Monkey House. It's me, Matt Stewart. Just letting you know that me and Saran, our show, has moved. We're at the Grace Darling Hotel now at 7:15. We're in the final couple of weeks of the festival. We'd love to see you there. We had so much fun at the Chinese Museum, but now we're at a new venue. It's a pub. Let's have a beer. I'd love to see you there.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to Primates, the podcast where we explore primates in popular culture from Chimpan A to Chimpan Z. This week on the show, joining us back in the Monkey House from the Grub podcast and Little Scamps, is Ben Russell and humorologist Maggie Luke.
Hello.
Hello. It is both an honor and a privilege to be beaming live from house to house.
We're not that far away as well in kilometres-wise, which is the weirder thing. It's like not like we're tuning into London,
yeah,
which is, would be exciting.
And we're even closer in friendship.
Yeah. We're also close because we're sharing a headphone, so
yeah.
It's getting pretty hot in here.
That's pretty cool. It's real nice to watch it. So we're doing this via Skype. Sort of thing. Is that how you would describe it? Via satellite link up?
Yeah, so we've got a satellite link up and we're recording. And then afterwards I'm going to send you this recording and you are going to sync it all up.
And it's going to sound as if we're in the same room. People are going to be like, I don't believe them. I reckon they're actually in the same room and they're just messing with us.
These guys are being irresponsible. They're getting together.
Yeah, we don't want to have some kind of riot, monkey riot on our hands. But no, we are far away.
Speaking of,
we're being very responsible.
Have you guys talked about that monkey riot
that happened? No.
You gotta
do
that.
This is the first time I've had guests in 3 weeks.
Yeah, right. There was a monkey riot in, where was it?
In Thailand.
Thailand. Bunch of monkeys rioted because usually where all the tourists would feed them, they didn't, so they went crazy. They didn't, their food source kind of ran out.
Well, I think it was less of a riot, more it was two rival gangs. So it was a little bit West Side Story style monkey, where two rival monkey gangs went head to head in the streets of this place in Thailand because there was no normal food anymore, so they were fighting over food. The footage is incredible.
Was it choreographed sort of? Low clicking.
Yeah.
I feel like it should have, it didn't get enough. Like, if the world wasn't crazy and there was two rival monkey gangs going head to head, that would have been number one headline.
Yeah.
But it really got shuffled to the base.
Yeah.
Because of other reasons.
Remember, not too long ago, there was a few baboons loose in Sydney, and that was sort of before COVID really kicked in. So yeah.
I was in Newtown at the time. In Sydney, where they were amongst.
Can you tell us what the vibe was like around when the monkeys got loose?
It was exciting. People were excited. I think Maggie just told me that they're more like there's going to be a lockdown happening, and then all of a sudden the monkeys happen. And I was like, this is actually kind of cool.
Yeah, monkeys got loose.
And people were excited. People were excited for the monkeys getting loose, even though they were riddled with herpes.
Matt, what do you think the mentality would be now if monkeys got loose? Would it be shoot the monkeys and then eat them, or would it be entertainment if it happened right now?
I think it would be entertainment. I think people would be hoping they hang around CCTV cameras so we could all keep an eye on them and have something to talk about.
Yeah, it would be fun.
I think it would be fun.
Do we know if they can be affected by COVID-19? Maybe they'd be like out there just being able to live their lives normally.
Well, I saw a thing recently that a dog died of COVID.
What?
Yeah, I hate to bring another animal into this, but yeah, apparently a dog died.
This isn't canid, mates.
Yeah, and so we can pretend it's a monkey. But yeah, no, apparently. Not to talk too much about the zeitgeist, but that kind of rattled a few people.
I'd heard that dogs were immune to it, so that's very sad to hear.
There's a little Pomeranian in China.
Oh, no. They're the ones with the puffy tails.
Yeah, yeah. Little puffs.
Maybe he got caught in the puff. Maybe the puff worked as some sort of a like a reverse filter.
Yeah, that's right. A reverse filter.
Sorry to get scientific on you there. So this week, Ben and Maggie, we're sort of leading up to putting the show on hiatus for a while after the 100th episode. So this is like the 7th or 8th last episode we're going to do for a while. Oh, and wow. I put our vote out to all the listeners. What are the movies and topics we got to do before we finish? And I gave you, I think, 7 of the top possible topics that the listeners voted for. And you chose this week's topic, Ben. Why was that?
Well, there were two that were standouts for me. One was Ed with Matt LeBlanc.
Wait. I didn't know you got an option.
Yeah, I got an option. Sorry, you weren't.
I was in the other room.
In the other room.
Watching TV.
He asked me, Mickey.
Okay.
He didn't ask you. He asked me, okay, this is my sort of cross to bear. I mean, heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Well, last time I was on this, I did the, what was it, the next top model? No, Project Runway. Remember that one?
Yeah,
that was me.
That's right.
That was fun. That was very on... In tune with me, so I'll let Ben have this one.
Mm. That one really excited me because it started to feel like, I love those episodes where it's like, we can do whatever the fuck we like, even though it annoys some listeners, admittedly, but it's fun to go, they made a dress that was based on a monkey. Let's do an episode
about
it.
That's all it is.
That works. That, you know, anything. Anything for content, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, it's content is king in the end, you know?
That's right.
Or Queen,
that's right. Thank you so much. You're so brave.
I was worried.
But I was going to choose Ed because it looks terrible. And it looked, you know, sometimes terrible can be fun to talk about. But ultimately, I went with Kubo for two reasons. One, I've seen it. Two, it is actually an amazing film. So I was like, let's go with the positivity.
I'm glad you did.
Rather than something bad.
Because I'd never seen it, and it was amazing. And that
it's
was
really
before...
good.
I really wish I knew it was stop animation while I was watching it.
Mm. It doesn't look like it. Looks computer-generated.
Yes, that blew my mind.
Yeah. But
it almost
isn't.
Defeats the purpose. Just do it on computers. Save yourself all this time making the models.
Yeah, if you can just do it on computers.
Let
I think
computers
it's pretty...
handle it.
It's definitely some of the best stop motion animation I've seen in ages, and it took them a long time to make. Some of the YouTube documentaries, sort of like featurettes behind the scenes stuff, is quite amazing on how they made it and all the models and things like that.
Yeah, they talked about how just certain models took them 6 months to make individually, just for one scene. So yeah, very hectic. John, I'm going to read out. I'll read out a little synopsis from Rotten Tomatoes for people who haven't seen it.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Okay, great. Here it goes. Kubo and the Two Strings is an epic action adventure set in fantastical Japan from acclaimed animation studio Laika. Clever, kind-hearted Kubo, voiced by Art Parkinson of Game of Thrones, ekes out a humble living, telling stories to the people of his seaside town, including Hosato, played by George Takei, Akihiro, played by Kari Hiroyuki Tagawa, and Kameo, played by Academy Award nominee Brenda Vaccaro, even. But his relatively quiet existence is shattered when he accidentally summons a spirit from the past, which storms down from the heavens to enforce an age-old vendetta. That's a big mistake.
Yeah.
Oh, and all he did to do that was be out after dark.
Yeah.
Stiff.
The Moon King, which funnily enough is what I used to be called.
You used to be the Moon King.
Yeah, for different reasons, though. Yeah, yeah.
Keep your ass in your pants, Ben, for Christ's sake.
And I was like, I'm the Moon King. You can't tell me what to do. And then I give him a big moon. I actually when I was a boy, if I can just take us down this little memory lane.
Can I just confirm I'm still here?
And I'm telling you too, you know, you need to know this story as well.
No, sorry. I just want to say, I haven't seen the film.
Yeah.
Well, you'd be loving the synopsis then.
That's why I was enjoying the synopsis. It was very good. Yeah, yeah.
I did say we're doing Kubo. I mean, you were informed.
Yeah.
And you just chose.
I forgot this was happening.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, you got a lot. We're doing a lot of stuff.
There was a lot of Twitter happening.
Yeah, yeah. We're tweeting. But anyway, two best childhood friends, Scott Patterson, Daniel Plichter, we were hanging outside the park Scott Patterson's park. We all had like parks near our houses. And they were like, hey, Ben, I dare you to moon the next car that comes past. And I was like, all right, never want to shy away from a dare. Next car that came past, I gave them a big moon and they stopped. They like squealed on the brakes and they stopped and they got out of the car and I dashed up a tree.
Like a little monkey boy.
Yeah, it turned out it was Trent Duggan's parents, who was
such a good childhood name.
Yeah, Trent Duggan's parents. And they were like, who was that? And they really kicked up a fuss.
They liked what they saw.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, it's hard not to. I'm a real peach.
He's got it, yeah.
Yeah, I've got a great ass.
He does. It's
quite
good.
Huge calves as well. Very well defined.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, big cars, tiny ass, but ooh, it's a little teacup.
Mm, pop it in a teacup, have a little sip.
Yeah. Anyway, Scott Patterson, they were like, who was that? And he's like, I don't know. You know, true friend. Daniel Plichter.
That's a real friend.
Daniel Plichter snitched immediately. And they were like, ah, Ben, yeah, good one. And he tried to come up the tree and he was like, oh, good one, mate. And they like, come on down. And I was like, absolutely not. Anyway.
I live here now.
Yeah, that's right. And they ended up driving off. And they must have kicked up a stink, but I never got any flack back from it, so didn't learn my lesson that day.
I don't know why people would be upset about a moon.
I don't know either. I mean, a moon is a...
It's not a... You know, I think if I saw a kid give me the rude finger, which for out there, if you don't know, that's the middle one.
Yeah.
I might pull over and be like, what's your problem? But if I saw a cheeky moon, I'd be like, oh, those kids.
Yeah.
They're just having fun. Unless there was a pedophile on the loose and I was concerned over them putting themselves out there.
Yeah.
At such high risk.
Yeah.
Yeah, really presenting. You don't want to do that.
No. It's like cats do that, don't they?
Yeah. When was the last time you mooned, Maggie?
We used to do it in the back of maxi taxis when we'd go clubbing in Brisbane. We'd go down that that freeway along the river. Coronation Drive leads onto the freeway. And when you'd get up speed, you'd flick up your little disco dress and slap your bum on the back and see how far you could go. And that was fun because then you go off the off ramp into Fortitude Valley. And no one knows who it is in that taxi. But the best bit is that you sit there, you put it up against the back of the maxi taxi and then
it flick being your ass.
Your ass. And then flick on the light. And so it suddenly lit up for the car behind you. Like it just was like out of nowhere. And then flick off the light like that. It was great.
That's a tactic used in horror films.
But also you got to be careful when you're a girl and you're mooning against a screen. Because if you lean down too far, you can get full view.
Yeah, hamburger that as well.
Yeah, you can't. You can't.
I thought you were going to go somewhere tasteful. Hamburger.
A hamburger. Brooke, that's very good.
I think that might
good.
Be the crookest thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, Yeah. The hamburgers for after dancing. Oh, yeah. No. Yeah, sorry. That came out wrong.
Hamburgers for after dancing. What is this? What is this show? What kind of ship are you running here? When was the last time you moved?
We're talking about a family-friendly film. You know, this feels I don't know if I've ever mooned.
You've never mooned.
I've never mooned. No, I've never.
I would say that'd be something you'd do if someone asked me. Would you look like a mooner? You do, yeah.
Yeah, look, it would have been a long time ago. Yeah, you know, I'm a private man in a lot of ways.
You're so private, you don't want to talk about the last time you mooned. I think that's a bit too private, to be honest. Let us in. Okay.
Yeah.
That's
what
I'm not opening up to you guys.
No man is an island, Matt. Okay. You need to tell us by the end of this episode, when we finally get through to the synopsis, you are going to tell me the last time you mooned. Okay. So just prepare yourself for that. Think about it.
All right. All right. I'll have a think. Let's kick on with the synopsis though. Maggie, you must be sitting on the edge of your seat.
Yeah. I want to know what happens.
So Kubo's now on the run. He joins forces with Monkey, who's a character that makes it relevant to this podcast, who's played by Charlize Theron, and Beetle, played by Matthew McConaughey.
Can I just stop you there? I did walk in on Ben watching a bit, and I thought that was Beyonce's voice, which I thought would be cool, because she'd just done...
She's done The Lion King.
She'd just done The Lion King, yeah.
But this is not as new as The Lion King.
This is 2016.
Yeah, right.
So Beetle...
Aren't you glad we're
Beetle's
here?
A great character. Beetle's like a... He's been cursed. He's an old samurai fighter who's lost his memory, but he's been turned into a beetle. He's like now a beetle samurai guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Pretty sick. So now, this motley crew that's been put together, they set out on a thrilling quest to save Kubo's family and solve the mystery of his fallen father, the greatest samurai warrior the world has ever known. With the help of his shamisen, a magical musical instrument, Kubo must battle gods and monsters, including the vengeful Moon King, played by Ralph Fiennes. Ray Fiennes. Damn it. And Ray the Fiennes. Evil twin sisters... played by Academy Award nominee Rooney Mara, to unlock the secret of his legacy, reunite his family, and fulfill his heroic destiny.
Can I ask, is this a who is this Pixar? It's none of those guys. It's Japanese.
It's an American studio. Company called Laika.
It's American, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Interesting.
American company, Japanese story.
Yeah. Right.
What were their other... Do you know... Are you familiar with them, Ben? They made one called Paranorman.
Oh, really? They did Paranorman.
And then one other one that rang a bell as well. Let me find it. I think they're well known for their stop animation. I guess, yeah, are they sort of like the American version of Wallace and Gromit or something?
Mm.
Oh, that's cool.
I really like their style. And
it's very distinctive.
With this one, I think it works so well with the theme and everything like that. They make everything sort of have an origami, papery look to it.
Yes. I don't know how they do that.
No, I don't know.
Blowing my mind. I just watched one about how they do the waves, and they apparently just tried all sorts of different materials like garbage bags and shower curtains and all sorts of things to get the effect right. So they also have done Coraline, Paranorman, The Box Trolls.
I've seen Coraline. That was really good. I really liked that.
So that was their first feature.
Yeah, right. That's about the girl, and she's like got a doll or something like that. Yeah, it was. Yeah. I remember it was really good.
Yeah, that's
right.
It was
Tim Burton, wasn't it?
In my head, it's a Tim Burton-y thing.
But I don't think it was Tim Burton. I think it was just sort of...
In that style.
Tim Burton-inspired style.
Yeah.
So they've got quite a good, like, flexible style on them. You know, with Wallace and Gromit, you know, it's like, you know when you're
Aardman.
Watching a, yeah, when Aardman, you know you're watching an Aardman one because they have a very unique kind of animation style. But these guys seem just a little bit more sort of flexible on their style. They like to experiment with different styles, and I think they do that quite well here. because everything looks like paper, and our main character, Kubo, his power is with origami.
Oh, cool.
Mm.
So, yeah, he plays this instrument, and he can make the origami do anything. And as he sort of goes along, he starts realizing that he doesn't even have to really ask. So at first, he has to sort of specifically ask the origami to do stuff, and then he found that he started just feeling it, and it became more powerful as the film went on in that way, I guess.
Mm. Mm.
Like Matilda.
That's right.
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of a correlation with Matilda's work, for sure. Why is it called the two strings? Because his guitar had three strings for most of the film. Ben, tell me that.
I think because it has two, because the strings that he uses is like his mother's hair and his father's bowstring or something like that.
Right. Oh, yes. So, yeah.
And then he uses his own hair in the third string. So it's the two strings that he uses, which is his mother's and his father's.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Kubo and the two strings.
They've got Kubo sorted, and then the other two strings are his mother and his father.
I would have called it Kubo and the good hair. But,
I'd watch that.
Just me.
Yeah, well, that's why you are not in charge of that film. What were some of your favorite parts?
Oh, I loved all the stuff with the Beetle Man. I thought he was great.
Yeah.
There was that huge set piece with the big skeleton where they had to get the unbreakable sword out of its head. Mm-hmm. That was pretty sick.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there was a lot of funny moments. It did a lot of things well, I reckon.
Yeah.
I watched it yesterday, and I've only just found out that it's stop animation, and I still haven't sort of got my head around that.
Yeah, right.
I think that's kind of pretty cool in a way to look back and be like, you just had the assumption that it was done with CGI and then look back that it's actually done with paper and all sorts of things kind of. Didn't they? Was that the Lego movie? Did they that as well?
Lego movie was made to look stop animation, but in fact it was all computer generated.
So it was the other way around. Yeah. I thought that was cool as well.
Yeah, that was cool.
You prefer? Would you prefer computer animation or stop animation?
Well, I feel like it's for whatever reason, it's more impressive that they do it stop animation. It's more impressive to me.
Yeah, right.
I don't know why that is.
I know, because of the time when you think about it, it's like when you, I remember seeing going back to Aardman, seeing when they, like the behind the scenes for the first time, like never seen how they did stop motion and how they have to go in, move it very, very slightly, take the photo, very, very slightly, take the photo. I always thought like if you made a mistake and moved it too far or something like that, how far you'd have to go back and redo the whole thing to get that sequence. It's kind of like, almost going back to original movie days where they, how it was all still pictures and then they'd blend it all together like that, but just keeping it going for a bit further. I like it.
Yeah. The people loved it too. The Tomatometer on Rotten Tomatoes gave it 97%. That's the critics' score based on 216 reviews.
Did it win an Oscar? I feel like it might.
Feels like it. If it didn't, what could have beaten it for? Let me look up what was Oscar that year, but surely.
Pretty sure it was The Lion King.
No.
No, it was nominated for Best Animated Feature and Best Visual Effects, but didn't win either.
Well, who won Animated Feature then?
Well, that sounds like bullshit. I'm going to write a letter about this.
You should.
Let's see.
Matt, have you ever written an angry letter? Oh. One of those people?
I don't. Maybe when I was an angsty teen, you know.
Oh, yeah. Really? Okay.
Back in the day, maybe I wrote a letter. I think I wrote a letter to the Green Guide one time.
Oh, really?
That was It was a positive letter about daytime TV being pretty good.
When was the last letter you wrote, Max? Because you are a letter writer.
Oh, I can't remember. There's been too many.
Wasn't it to Mecca because the lady was rude to you?
Oh, yeah, the lady was rude to me at Mecca. I don't like... Yeah, well, no, we're talking...
Not the Mecca, as in the the Mecca is in the shop.
Can you imagine I went to Mecca, in like the Mecca, and the lady was rude to me? There'd be no lady. The lady was rude to me, so I wrote a letter.
I think where would you send it? Muslim to enter that city.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I just... Oh, I'm not coming across well. Let's move on.
Zootopia won Best Animation in 2016.
What?
I've seen it. It was pretty good, but it was Kubo and the Two Strings.
No, this is much better than Zootopia. Zootopia was it also, fine.
Moana was also out that year, so I would have also put that ahead of Zootopia, I would have thought.
There's some greasy palms happening there.
Is
that a Weinstein film?
Oh, I bet you it bloody is.
Yeah. He's good at greasy palms.
Got a stink all over it.
Got a stink all over Zootopia.
There's Walt Disney, another guy who's been cancelled.
Get him all away.
But him more by death.
Yeah, death is the ultimate canceller.
Yeah, that's right.
There's been a few things cancelled lately.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
As a kids movie, because I assume it's meant for youngish people to watch, there's some pretty scary bits in it too. I thought the Kubo's aunties were pretty scary with their masks.
They were very
masks.
Scary. It's also, there's death in it. There's a lot of death. There's another string that it pulls, and that's the heartstrings.
Oh, hello. Where'd you read that?
I just made that up. How good is that?
Should we talk about the monkey character a bit? I think obviously there's spoilers. If you haven't seen it, you should watch it first. But the monkey character comes about because Kubo's hanging out with his mum. His dad's been killed by some sort of a god, the Moon King.
The twist is that I think his mother was like the sun god or something, maybe. I don't know. I forget.
Yeah, she was part of the god family. She was up there in the ether or whatever. And she came down to Earth and fell in love with this samurai legend, and then the two of them had Kubo. So Kubo's sort of half god, I guess.
Yeah.
So it's kinda like
a demigod.
It's like Hercules a little bit.
It is, a little bit, yeah.
And then so the samurai got killed by the moon god, I think. And then so his mum's trying to protect him. She's like, whatever you do, you got to be back home after dark. If you stay out after dark, you'll summon the moon god or the moon king.
And he's after his eyes.
Why is he after his eyes?
Well, he stole one eye and he's after the other of Kubo's.
Yeah, he wants his brown eye. Classic moon king.
That was good. Well
that
done.
Was very good, Matt. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
How old is Kubo? Is he a kid or is he?
He's a child, yes.
He's a child and someone's taken his eye.
Yeah.
That's fucked up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's messed up stuff.
Don't try. Don't take kids' eyes.
Can I ask is there a flashback scene? Like a gratuitous Tarantino style
no.
flashback scene of the eye?
It's still a kid's film.
A man's taken his eye.
Mm-hmm.
That's pushing the boundaries of the kids' film realm.
No nonsense. There's much worse kids' films.
Bambi's mum gets shot in the first scene.
Yeah,
never seen Pinocchio it. So does thanks drugs. For spoiling it. Huh?
Pinocchio does drugs and smokes.
Does he?
Yeah. I think Pinocchio is a little bit anti-Semitic.
Is it?
I think it's got anti-Semitic overtones.
You know what does?
Are you cancelling Walt again?
Yeah, well, I just think, you know, it's one of those old stories and they can be a bit probo in those stories. Pinocchio in the original was a real piece of shit.
I'd have to say Oliver Twist probably is the most anti-Semitic film going out there with that character Fagin. He's like a walking kind of Nazi propaganda poster. but it's in the 60s. Like, it's kind of, it's very strange. If you haven't seen Oliver Twist, don't watch it.
Is it? It's not in the 60s.
It was made in the 60s.
The movie.
The movie, yeah. And it was made in the 60s. And
you were talking about the book.
No.
I was like, no, the book is, that's not the 60s.
But here's the thing.
1860s.
You know the kid in Oliver Twist, who the actor, he allegedly is the father of Michael Jackson's kids.
Oh.
The real one. Because if you, I mean, like, you know, I'm not a geneticist. No. But
and she never pretends to be.
I never pretend to be.
Well, you didn't say you're, you know, this is the first time I've heard you're not. You know, lying by omission is still lying.
But if you,
and you did give Maggie a bunch of your DNA to test.
I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry. I hate. This is the wrong way to tell you.
It's still sitting in our freezer.
If you're bored, and I'm sure people have time on their hands, look up that actor. He was friends with Michael Jackson, and he looks exactly the same as the kids.
What is this, Maury Povich?
Yeah. Just a little fun fact. Maury Povich. I do after.
You are the father.
Daytime TV.
Good show.
That's a big twist. That's even bigger than the twist in this film that we're talking about, Maggie.
You want to run through the twist?
Are you gonna? Yeah, do you want to do it? Are you gonna spoil it for the listeners, or is that
we assume that
they've listened, they've watched it? Okay.
Let's say so.
They've watched it, or they're not gonna watch it.
Yeah. So what happens is he stays out past the sun goes down and the moon comes out, and long ago
somebody
left with the cup.
Yeah, there we go.
And then all of a sudden his twin, the sister, the aunts come out and they're freaky. And then a smoke monster comes from Lost and it comes and tears and destroys the village. And then he gets carried away by the enchanted robe and he wakes up in a icy, snowy tundra with a monkey. And that's where that monkey comes in, which is a macaque, like a snow monkey, I assume.
Oh, yeah, I think it's a Japanese macaque.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Played by Charlize Theron.
Not Beyonce.
But so before this, his mom has said, whatever you do, always carry this little monkey statue with you. It's like a little monkey pocket idol sort of thing.
Yeah.
It comes to life, does it?
Yeah. So basically what's happened is the Moon King was about to get Kubo and his eye, but his mom came along. And she was super powerful, and she saved the day, but it used the last bit of her strength. And then the very last bit of her strength she used to bring the monkey to life to help sort of guide Kubo.
Mm. And the first thing that they do is kind of walk through, and they find this little ruins. And then they find a whale, and they sleep in the whale. He makes a little samurai origami, and it points them that direction. And they walk that direction, and then the Beetle Man, they come across the Beetle Man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Matthew McConaughey's Beetle Man. And he's like, he's sort of comic relief a bit. He seems like he's sort of the goofy side character. But we learn later on he's a little more than that.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that made me listen. What happens?
So they got to collect three things. They got to collect the sword. Something and
the unbreakable sword.
Yeah, sword unbreakable. The chest piece, whatever, and then the helmet invulnerable. So they got those are the three sort of quests that our hero is sent on this hero's quest.
This has just been the start.
Yeah.
Right. Can I ask now? The sun god, she's gone. Is it dark all the time?
No.
No, it doesn't seem to affect it in that way. But, I mean, there's a twist coming with that as well, because the monkey is also more than it seems.
People aren't as they seem. And by people, I mean monkeys.
So they go and they get the sword out of this huge skeleton man. It's sort of like almost like an Indiana Jones kind of scene.
Hmm.
It's like a big jigsaw puzzle almost. They take what they think is a sword, but that just wakens this huge bad guy.
Mm.
And his hair is swords. And one of those swords is the Sword Unbreakable. And they get it eventually. With the help of the Beetle Man, the Monkey Woman, and the little origami paper man. That's a Motley Crue. Name me a more Motley Crue than that.
Motley Crue.
Okay. Nikki Six. See one of them? Tommy Lee.
Tommy Lee.
Is that the only one we know?
That's the only one anyone knows.
And he's the drummer. What are the odds of that?
Yeah. They truly are a Motley Crue.
They get the sword. Then they move on and they go and get the armor. And the last thing they got to get is the helmet.
Yeah.
In the meantime, it's revealed that the monkey is really the mum.
Oh.
What?
How is that revealed, Ben?
I don't remember.
So
yeah, but she...
The monkey is the mum.
Is it the same voice?
I think it might be, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny that I didn't pick up on that.
No, I think they kind of disguise it just slightly. But mind you, the mum doesn't talk a lot.
The monkey.
Yeah, that's true.
So the son mum isn't super chatty. So when she becomes monkey.
Yeah.
Did you say mumkey?
Mumkey.
That's good stuff.
Then she can, you don't pick up on it. Charlize has been bumped.
Now the twists don't stop there. Because later it is also revealed that Beetle Man is...
his dad.
What?
Yeah.
Huh? Imagine that'd be like finding out Tommy Lee's your mum and Nikki Six is your dad.
Yeah. You'd freak out.
So,
wouldn't you?
Absolutely freak me out.
So, but his dad originally was a samurai god.
No, just a samurai.
I'm assuming he's good looking.
He's very good looking. He's probably one of the hottest.
So at the end, do they both turn back into mum and dad? Or am I jumping too far?
No, they're spirits.
Yeah, their spirits live on back as themselves.
Yeah.
As they all do.
Two birds.
They're
the
lanterns
birds
on a river.
Fly off. Yeah.
Yes. Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah. They mentioned at some point during the film that the birds flying over her head sort of take the spirits over to where they want to go. And then that happens at the end.
Aww.
So it's a bittersweet ending, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I can't remember.
Yeah, it's a real sad film.
Yeah, it's quite sad. It really is. Like,
what does he end up living? Is he just okay? Just lives by himself at the end? Like, what happens to
Trudeau?
Well,
I think he sort of comes to terms with everything and he just, forges on a bit.
And because he's a storyteller in the village before everything goes wrong.
As a child.
Yeah. And I think he goes back and finishes it. He never finishes his story. And he goes back and he finishes his story.
Mm.
That's one of his key personality traits. Doesn't know how to finish stories. And I'm with him. Endings are hard. They're the
endings
hardest bits.
Tough. They're always tough. Yeah. I can't remember. Why does the Moon King want his eyes? What's the significance of
it? It's something about him trying to see again, right? He's blind.
Yes.
I think.
And he offers to turn Kubo into a god, an immortal.
Mm,
but
if
he's
going to
take his eyes.
So he'd be an immortal god that couldn't see.
That's right.
Mm. What would you do?
I'd go with Kubo, I think, and just, it'd be hard to turn on your mum and dad who fought so hard for you to not have to do that. And then in the end go, nah, all right, I'll just... Yeah, give him the eye,
Would you? But what are the benefits of being an immortal god? You just live.
You're
forever.
Immortal, and
do
you're
live,
a god.
Do you live amongst the world, or do you live in the clouds?
You live up in the clouds, I think, but you can sort of pop down a bit by the look.
Yeah,
of it.
He because the moon god he popped down.
What does the moon god look like for everyone playing at home?
He looks like an old man, but then he turns into like a sort of like a snake dragon.
Snake dragon.
Floating through the sky. Snake dragon floating through the sky.
Snake dragon floating through the sky. You're gonna steal my eyes someday.
I'll be hearing that for a while.
We make up a lot of different songs.
A lot of songs happening.
Songs happening over here in isolation.
That's all right.
Well, I think that's a good one. They should add that to the soundtrack.
Just always the one that's in the credits. You know, they always end up like making a licensed song, getting like Ben Folds to write a song.
I feel like they don't make song. I feel like every throughout the early noughties and mainly 90s, every movie that came out had one of those licensed songs that came with it. Like all the or they'd put someone in like Will Smith and Men in Black.
Yeah,
you know, like that song came out. Like every even like what is that? What is that one with Nick Cage that he was in the plane and he was like
Face Off.
Not Face Off.
Con Air.
Con Air. Remember the Con Air song? Like, that's such a bad film.
Don't remember the Con Air song.
Yeah. It goes...
the ballad, right?
Yeah, yeah. You definitely know it if you heard it.
It's like the Aerosmith one in the film.
Love that one.
Armageddon?
Don't want to close Armageddon. Back.
Yeah.
What it's called.
Yeah.
Because his daughter was acting in it.
Yeah.
Right.
Liv Tyler.
Liv Tyler. But they don't really do that much anymore.
Oh, they still
do. It used to be like that a lot, right? Yeah. Lion King had Elton John. All the Disney films used to have a big hit song.
Yeah.
Aladdin had some. I mean, they were musicals.
They don't do it as much, but they still do do it. And the reason why they still do it is so that they can sneak in a little Oscar nom for... Right.
Best original song. Of course.
That's why they do it.
So that they can advertise the film with as Oscar winner, even though it's so tangential.
Even though it was just at the end of the credits.
It is always, you're right, it's always like, what are we watching? Chicago the other day.
Mm.
And they had one in the end of the credits.
It was like, not in the musical.
It wasn't even in the theme of the song.
No.
It was just kind of like...
Chicago, it's a musical.
Yeah.
Chicago.
That's the opening scene.
Here we go. Hey, Chicago. It's a musical.
Is that what it was like living in Chicago, Ben?
Yeah, everyone was singing and it was really cold.
A lot of speakeasies.
A lot of speakeasies. A
lot of jitterbugs.
A lot of flim flam.
Yeah. Heaps of that.
Heaps of flim flam.
Where was the mooning story?
Took place in Perth, Western Australia.
Right. It did feel Australian.
Was it Trent Duggan that gave it away?
Yeah. There's no trees in Chicago.
Trent.
There's no Chicago Trent Duggan, you know?
No. Trent.
Trent is a very Australian name.
Imagine having a tiny little baby, a little fresh one, in your arms, looking down and being like, this one's Trent. This one's Trent.
Yeah, I can sell it. Look at his eyes. That's a Trent if I've ever seen one.
That's a Trent.
You're basically saying you don't like your kid.
Yeah. Basically, you're dooming your kid to a life of just crime, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, Trents are going to be criminals 100% of the time.
It's like Trent or like a Braden.
What's Trent doing now? Will he?
I don't know what
this?
Trent Duggan's doing now.
Hard time.
If you're listening, I hope you're doing well. And I let your parents know that it was me that mooned them and I... It's one of the best things I've ever done. I don't regret it at all. I mean, your mum saw my ass. And it was... And it's a good ass, so, you know.
I think it's strange because everyone's bum gets worse.
Yeah. But mine's
the older they get it.
Mine gets better. Somewhere in an attic, There's a painting of my bum that gets old.
The portrait of Dorian Bum. I was just saying, everyone in their mid-20s should have done one of those plaster casts.
Of their ass.
Because
you never see it. You'll never see your bum. You'll never properly see your bum with your own eyes.
Yeah.
So I think we're all fools to not get a plaster cast in the mid-20s, in our mid-20s, so we can hang it on the wall and that's what it once was, you know?
And who knows what's going to happen with technology, you know? Maybe they could regenerate an arse, get an arse plant down the track.
Well, they do have arse plants.
Well, you work in DNA. You know.
That's actually what I'm working on at the moment.
No, she said she was a genealogist where she studies genies. No!
I've met them all.
Aladdin.
The ones at the Apple store. No, that's geniuses, isn't it? Or is that genies?
That's the plural.
I don't know.
Yeah, they're all called Genie, aren't they? I Dream of Genie's named Genie. Genie from Aladdin's called Genie.
Yeah, where's Trent the Genie?
Yeah, where is he?
Where is he?
Show yourself. So the film ends with that scene, basically. It's the big showdown with the flying snake dragon. And how do they defeat it? Does he defeat it one-on-one? It's with his hair string.
Yeah, with his strings.
Yeah. That makes sense. With his two strings. Yeah, he got his first real two string.
He pulled a few strings.
It was a real opportunity for them to... Well, actually, the song... Do you remember what they played into the credits?
No, I don't.
It was a Regina Spektor cover of George Harrison's While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
Oh.
Actually, that's quite nice. I like Regina.
It's quite a... Yeah, I like that combo.
Have you met her?
Never met her. I've seen her. Saw her at Splendor a few years back.
There you go.
Yeah.
Pretty good stuff. I think I left halfway through to see someone like Draft or something.
Oh.
No regrets.
No regrets. No regrets.
So?
I want you to rate it. I want you to give us a banana score. The critics loved it. I'd love to know if you are there with the critics.
I loved it. In terms of animation, some of the best animation I've seen, I'm going to give it 5 bananas.
5 bananas out of how big's your bunch?
5.
Wow. It's the perfect bunch.
Do you know my cousin is married to a banana farmer?
What? Oh, okay. You paused for so long after you said banana.
Your cousin is married to a banana. You know, my cousin is actually married to a banana. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean any offense.
What score would you give it, Maggie?
I think it sounds lovely.
Yeah. So you'd actually like it.
I forget you haven't seen it. That's funny.
You'd actually really like
this. Give the idea of it?
I'll give it 3 out of 5. I have a very short attention span for films in like this, like animation films.
Deserved more.
Yeah.
So I'm giving my interest banana bunch is 3 out of 5. But when I watch it, it might change. Do you know what I mean? You get me?
So yeah, it's not super long. It's 1 hour and 40, which is pretty decent length for this day and age, where movies all seem to go for over 2 hours.
Mm.
All the critic reviews on Rotten Tomatoes, you know, they give little snippets of reviews. They're all positive, apart from one. Mm. And it's Australia's Jim Shembri from 3AW.
Jim Shembri. He is an absolute, sorry, warning, language warning.
Allegedly an absolute.
No, I can prove that he's a cunt. he can take me to court. And he is an absolute cunt. One of the worst reviewers. Obviously, the Melbourne Comedy Festival would be going on.
R.I.P.
And this guy would be going to people's shows, and he just hates any female comedian.
Really?
Yeah. Just absolutely hates it. So, Jim Shembri, no good. I disqualify him from...
I'm really interested to see the lawsuit of this guy versus the Primates podcast, like in all the legal documents. Do you know what I mean? Was discussing monkeys, moved quickly on to defamation.
No, it's not. I don't think it's defamation. I think that it's
an opinion.
Well, it's also fact.
Okay.
So his review, he gave it 2.5 out of 5.
Yeah.
And this line sums up his review. Man, it's gloomy.
Yeah, cool. Thanks, Jim.
Pretty insightful there.
Yeah, very.
Is that enough for it to be bad? I don't know.
Was he describing the sky? Like maybe they got it wrong and he was referencing something else.
Maybe
gloomy. Gloomy is not It's kind of not a great technical review term that you'd hear.
It's almost like he's a terrible reviewer.
It feels like you've made that film, Ben.
Other reviews, I'll run through a few quickly here. Kate Muir from The Times in the UK said, 4 stars, a glorious flight of the imagination. Jacob Stolworthy from The Independent said, with utmost care applied to its every shot, the adults will be marveling as much as the youngsters. Another 4 out of 5. Another 4 out of 5 from Charlotte O'Sullivan, again in London. The animation, well, it robs you of breath over and over again. This is just like every other review is gushing.
Yeah.
And Rachel Wagner gave it an A+, saying it really is a masterpiece. So, and then your mate Jim Shembury, man, is it gloomy?
It probably didn't like it because the monkey was a woman and he's a misogynist, so.
All right.
Jim, monkeys can be women too.
Yeah, and he's like, no, I don't like it.
Monkeys can be women too. What's your favourite monkey, Matt? I know you said it.
I don't think I've ever settled on one, but I'll probably on episode 100, I'll have to come to some sort of a conclusion on this.
What a tease.
Monkeys are hard because there's so many kinds of monkeys. Great apes is a lot easier because there's only a few of them.
Mm.
But they're all great. And that's the problem with them, I guess.
Yeah, that's why they're called the great apes. Yeah, they're great.
Was it Evan? Evan, your partner in crime on this often. What, he had a weird choice, didn't he? That he goes to.
He loves Andy from Toy Story.
Yeah.
Oh, right. That's
which is just, it's just insane. And he's got to be stopped.
That's his favourite character.
It's his favourite primate, so pretty wild choice.
Yeah.
The other thing we normally do towards the end of the episode is we talk about how much of yourself you see in the monkey character. In terms of DNA, you'd know this, Maggie. Humans and chimps share about 98-99% DNA. Andy Matthews, who's some sort of scientist, told us that on the first episode. So we try and see how much of ourselves we see in the monkey character as a percentage out of 100.
He's a good colleague. I work well together. I've worked with him on a couple of shifts.
Yeah, a couple of genies.
Yep.
Yeah, they've rubbed a couple of lamps.
At the project. sorry, what was the question?
Well, I don't know if you'll be able to answer this one, Maggie, but Ben, how much of yourself do you see in the monkey?
The monkey in this one is a protector, but it's also a little tender, you know? It loves Kubo, and I think I see quite a bit, you know? I'd like to see that, you know, I'm a protector and a nurturer, and I'd like to groom myself occasionally, and I'm not a very good cook. So I think
is the monkey not a good cook? That's cute.
Well, the monkey, she cooks up a little stew earlier on
out of whale guts.
It's supposed to be the mum, so the mum's not a good cook.
Yeah, I'm a mother. I'm a nurturer. You know,
but she also pretty distrustful. Do you see that as a?
No, I think that's where it ends. I'm quite a trusting person.
She doesn't trust people, or people don't trust the monkey.
She doesn't trust people.
Yeah, but also I think that trust stems from protection. Wanting to protect Kubo at all costs. So, you know, I can understand that. It doesn't come from nowhere.
Hmm.
So, yeah, I think I do. I see, like, maybe I would say, like, 75%, 70%, or at least I would like to anyway. Whether that's...
I agree with most of what you say there as well. I'd like to... All those things, a lot of attractive and admirable traits. I'm going to give it... I'm going to say I'm 69% in common with the...
Well,
I didn't even notice. That was just picked at random.
Really?
That brings us to the final section of the show where we thank a few patrons. Would you be up for hanging around while I read out a few of these patrons?
Of course.
Sure.
If you support us at patreon.com/dogoonpod, you support this show as well as Do Go On, which this week was about the disappearance of Bobby Dunbar. It was about a 4-year-old boy went missing in 1912. He turned up 8 months later, and the story was sort of got wild from there. And
I know this one.
Yeah, so you can check that out at Do Go On. There's also Book Cheat Podcast, which this week is about Breakfast at Tiffany's. And also the podcast Listen Now, which the first season was 19 episodes long and was all about the back catalogue of Australian iconic pub rock legends Cold Chisel, which I recorded with my cousin. Hot tip, if you're all locked down, there, that's some good listening right there. I'd say
go out
and give it a bloody go.
Yeah.
But one of the rewards you get by supporting us at patreon.com/dogoonpod is you get a thank you, and you get to tell me something about monkeys or primates, your favourite or anything you like, really.
Mm-hmm.
And this first one's from Orla McGrath. Great name.
Great name.
Orla writes.
She's all right.
Hey, Matt. Hey, all right. Is all right with you? That's pretty good stuff.
All right.
Buddy, Maggie's a regular ostentatious fan for those. Orla writes, hey, Matt. I did say this to you when I met you in Dublin, but might as well say it again because these primates are pretty great. My favourite primate is the bonobo, and I think this quote from BBC sums up why pretty nicely. Quote, bonobos are miniature, sharing, caring chimps living in hippie communes with no aggression and lots of sex. I think that sums it up pretty nicely there.
Yeah.
They are also all bisexual, live in a matriarchal society. Their brain is naturally wired to feel empathy, and perhaps my favourite fact is their name means nothing. Bonobo comes from a spelling mistake on a shipping crate headed to Bilobo, Zaire, in the 1920s.
Ah, I love
that. That's wild. What a great fact.
Great. What a great pick. Well done.
You're both bonobo fans, aren't you?
Huge.
Yeah, I like bonobos.
We were talking about it before.
I'm more of a orangutan man.
Yeah, I think I'm probably in the orangutan camp when it comes to the great apes as well. I remember talking to you two about this show before it started, and I think you both thought I was joking a fair way through the conversation. But then when you realized I was being serious, you were very excited about it. You're both very passionate primate lovers.
Yes.
Are you talking to us?
Yeah. Sorry. Jane Goodall just walked into the room.
I actually did a photo shoot. I don't know if we will have newspapers anymore, but, in the newspaper sometimes they'll have someone doing something wacky in a photo that's like holding a dog in a tree or, you know, like wearing a fancy dress and it's promoting some kind of festival.
Yeah.
I did that one time for the Jane Goodall Foundation, and it was about recycling mobile phones. And it's me sitting at a desk with like 600 old mobile phones around me, just looking at the camera. And then I think it was just a person I knew. It was a publicist at the time asked me to do it. And then I got a Jane Goodall book. We've got a big thick one, a big thick biography, and you know, never read it. But it looks good in the shelf. So, yes, we are big fans. Big fans.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Do you have that photo still somewhere? I'd love to post that out.
I'll try and find it. I think it might be on Facebook. I'll have a look.
Yeah, sick.
It was, I think, about 6 years ago, 7 years ago. So, I look good. So, yeah, definitely.
Hey, Maggie, what's thicker, the Jane Goodall book or Ben's ass?
I'd say the Goodall book.
Yeah, I'm not thick.
He's not thick.
I'm just well formed.
He's not a hippie man. You know, men with just a little bit soft hips. That's not a good look for me. His is like a normal man. And if you got like a teacup, right, you packed it with sand, right? And then you pushed it against someone's back twice. That's exactly what the bum looks like.
That sounds wild. I'm so sad that I wasn't in that car passing by all those years ago.
So, when was the last time that you mooned? Just finishing off, you know?
I definitely remember mooning at schoolies, which was... I went to Torquay, so an unofficial schoolies. And, I remember classic. One of my friends said, never, don't do that again. You don't have... It's a bit full on. But he wasn't. What? He wasn't saying the act of mooning was full on. Just my particular ass.
Very good.
Well, now you've got my attention.
Yes, please.
Let's get some mirrors out. Let's see what we can see sometime soon, Ben.
Yeah. Yeah, great. Oh, let's explore our bodies.
A couple more quick ones from the patrons before we wrap up. This one's from Jack Fairy. He writes, "Hi, Matt. I haven't had one yet. My favorite monkey is the squirrel monkey. Their faces are too cute to be real."
Oh, yes. They are cute. You're right. I like squirrel monkeys.
Fantastic suggestion, Jack Fairy. Love that very much. Jason Frey writes, "My favorite primate would have to be Krusty the Clown's trained chimpanzee, Mr. Teeny. He may be an aggressive chain smoker, but he manages to put up with Krusty every day and has even saved the clown's life on occasion. He has bad days where he attacks or just gets really sassy with Krusty, but who doesn't get mad at work from time to time? I think we can all see a bit of ourselves in this showbiz champ of a chimp." Fantastic suggestion,
Jason. Can I just ask you, Matt, can you reread that and replace the names Monkey with my name and Krusty's with Ben? And that would 100% describe our working and living relationship here.
Wait, so Ben is Krusty?
Yeah.
And you're Mr. Teeny?
I'm the chimp, yeah. Go.
I want a bigger lolly.
Just the first bit.
My favorite primate would have to be Ben Russell's trained chimpanzee, Maggie Luke. She may be an aggressive chain smoker, but she manages to put up with Ben Russell every day and has even saved the clown's life on occasion. Yeah, that I think that adds up. I didn't know you were a chain smoker, but...
I've switched to the vape. To the vape. I'm a vaper now, but, you know.
Yeah, right.
Sometimes I go back. It's a bit of fun. Something to do. Vaping. No one's going to yell at me now.
Finally.
No one cares about the smokers.
Ranny Tabry writes, "I agree with the second banana, which is Evan. The human is the greatest primate. All the best people I know are humans. If I had to choose a non-human one, I would go with the bald Uwakari." Am I saying that right? Uwakari.
I don't know.
Have you seen those?
Bald ones. It's fun.
You haven't even seen one Uwakari.
No.
I haven't even seen a full-headed head of hair Uwakari than a... Baldwin.
Have you ever seen Captain America and the bad guy Red Skull?
Yeah.
It kind of looks like his face is red like that, but then his body is like a beautiful mink coat or something. Like an old school foofy sort of jacket thing.
Sounds fabulous.
So it's like a real weird mix of glamour body and then just a wrong head.
That's a good one. Does sound fabulous. I think you're right.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. What a fun time it has been.
What a great time. We've had a great time.
Yeah. I've learned a lot.
Where can people find you? Comedy Festival started yesterday in the alternative reality.
Yeah, in alternative reality. But in
doors.
In this timeline, you can find me on the Grub Patreon. We're doing a Festival of the Grub at the moment, which is just a month of... regular / daily content, really.
So that's with...
With the Grub podcast, with Greg Larson and Ann Edmonds doing something. It's going to be it's a good time.
And
yeah.
What's the how do they look for you online?
Look up the Grub on the Twitter or the Facebook or even Instagram.
Wow, the and big three.
Yeah. Mm. You're doing something on Instagram at the moment, aren't you, Mags?
Yeah, but I'm just going to keep that.
You going to keep that?
Yeah, I'm just going to keep it private.
She's doing something. Figure it out. That's the task. You got to find it. You got to follow her. But she's not going to tell you, which is, you know, not helpful.
And hopefully we can find that photo of you with lots of phones.
Oh, yeah. I'll try and find it. Absolutely. We'll give you that one.
Awesome. Totally. Thanks so much for joining us. Now, Maggie and Ben, you probably remember this, hopefully, that we always sign off with our classic primate related catchphrase that you guys riff in the moment. So I'll say thank you so much for joining us, Ben and Maggie, and as we always say here at Primates Podcast,
tum to your tum tum tum.
That's what the monkey says.
We did it.
Bye, Matt.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.